I went down to New Orleans to be with our youngest son, Peter, who had just finished a long bicycle trip. He had biked from downtown Chicago west out to the Mississippi River and then followed the Mississippi River all the way down to New Orleans, 1,400 miles. So I went down and met him, and we spent about 5 days, Peter and I did, exploring the Mississippi Delta region. And what a broad, twisty river down there. It's broad and kind of twisty here, but not like there. It's a mighty river with cruise ships and huge ships and loading docks and cranes all over the place. And the whole region, of course, every neighborhood, every city, highway bends according to the shape of the river. So what a gift last Thursday following the pastor's spouse retreat that Sid and I went on. We drove west from Walker to Itasca. And we went to the other end of the river, to Itasca State Park, where there is just a little gentle stream flowing out of Itasca Lake, working its way north and then all the way south toward us and then all the way down to New Orleans and the Gulf of Mexico. Same river. The same river. At the headwaters, it's about a foot deep and about 20 feet wide. In New Orleans, there's a point where it's 200 feet deep and it's about a mile wide. At the headwaters, the water flow is 6 cubic feet per second. 6 cubic feet per second. In New Orleans, it's 600,000 cubic feet per second. 100,000 times more. It's fascinating. Same river. Same river. It's an image to hold on to as we come to this story in our sermon text today about Abraham and Sarah. Because they are at the headwaters of the story for us. The story of faith. Two people. We'll hear in Hebrews 11 that Abraham was as good as dead. And Sarah, she was well beyond childbearing years. Two people with limitations. And two people who even after responding to God's call, they didn't live this out perfectly by any means. But God was faithful. And God was using them beyond what they could have ever imagined or comprehended in ways that reach all the way to us, to today. They were headwaters people. And as the story progresses in the Bible with more twists and turns than the Mississippi River, through God's faithfulness and through the obedient response of people like them all the way along, this whole story spreads forward through history to us today. Same river. It's with the call of God on their lives that God began to form His people. A great nation formed around His faithfulness and His promises. A people who God said would be a great blessing, a blessing to all people on earth, beginning with Abraham and Sarah, responding to God's call to obedience, to obediently follow. This people would become the Hebrews, and later called the Israelites, and then the Jews, out of whom came Yeshua, Jesus. The one and only Son of God, the fulfillment of all of God's promises. The one who came to save all people, the entire world from sin and death through His sacrifice on the cross and resurrection. That's the great story. That is the huge, mighty story of God's faithfulness, like a mighty river. Abraham and Sarah, at this point still called Abram and Sarai, they sit at the headwaters, at the mouth of a small stream that sprawls forward through history. So listen to the text, first from Genesis 12 and then from Hebrews 11. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. They set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Then to Hebrews 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's hard to stop reading Hebrews 11. It covers so much history. But it's not just history. It's a witness. It's a powerful witness about God's faithfulness and people he called to live by faith. To live by being sure of what we hope for and certain of things we do not see. By faith, life in harmony with God takes hold and shapes lives in real ways. By faith, we become alert to God and learn to hear and obey this one who has plans way beyond anything we can even ask or imagine, way beyond our comprehension. It's God's faithfulness calling out our obedience that leads to life lived by faith. God's faithfulness calling out our obedience leads to a life lived by faith. However imperfectly and however unsteadily we live it, God is faithful and God is gracious, and he invites us into this whole story by his grace. And so, like landmarks along a river, here we have this witness in Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah, and then we come to where we pick up this story today. By faith, Abraham and Sarah. And then it goes on to include Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab. God's faithfulness calling out obedience and how these many people moved in directions and laid foundations that had everything to do with God. By faith. It was life lived on, focused on his promises. Promises later completely fulfilled in Jesus. Forgiveness of sins, new life, new hearts, new hopes, new vision. A whole new way of living and being and seeing and acting, all by faith. Faith in the one who is faithful. So I'm going to take a little bit to talk about living alert to God's faithfulness. living alert to God's faithfulness and the shift in perspective, or the whole shift in life that this brings. And I'll draw on a few things that the speaker at this retreat we just went to spoke about. His name is Keith Meyer. He's the pastor of Faith at Hope Covenant Church in St. Cloud. Among other things, he encouraged us with this. If we're going to live by faith, if we're going to invite and allow our lives to be actually transformed by Jesus, and that's an important word there, actually transformed, not just knowing that Jesus can do this, just knowing that he's done it in other lives, or that hoping he might one day do this, but to invite and allow him actually to change our lives. Living in this openness means, among other things, that we need to intentionally allow more space for him and to slow down our lives, slowing them down way on the inside. I know that I've preached about this before. I've preached about it recently. And I'm as guilty as anyone for letting that needle move way up into the red zone and just holding it. Because there is so much to do. There are responsibilities, obligations, things we want to do, need to do. We all do this at times. And sometimes we know it when we're living like that, moving really fast with a lot going on, time with God, time in worship, time spent simply listening and being and releasing things over to Jesus. It gets bumped or wedged. Bumped to the margins, wedged into little micro spaces. I heard a pastor tell about a story riding with a friend in his friend's high-performance BMW. The pastor was driving his friend's car, and they were having a very heart-to-heart talk about some heavy things that his friend was dealing with. And then he said that his friend, when they got to an open, remote stretch of highway, his friend said, "Why don't you open it up? Put the pedal to the floor." So this pastor put the pedal to the floor, and this car, this high-performance BMW, took off. And he said it was so exciting to go that fast and that fine of a car. But he said two things happened along the way. One is that the faster he went, the less he saw. He just focused on the road and the horizon. That horizon kept coming so fast. He saw nothing else. Secondly, the faster he went, the less they talked. And what they did talk about was only about the car and how fast they were going. All this other richer, deeper stuff got set aside because they were going so fast. Depth disappeared. The value of the conversation disappeared, all because they were going fast. I get there sometimes, internally, and it comes out externally. I'm sure that you do too. Frustration, impatience, not hearing well, not seeing well. There's so much to get done. Doing, 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 doing. And we can get used to this. Used to living in that red zone of so many things to get done in such a little amount of time. But what happens then to time? Just being attentive to God. What happens then to time where we just dwell in a small section of Scripture and let His Word speak to us? What happens to our prayer life when we're moving so fast? It gets bumped and wedged. Bumped to the side, wedged into little micro spaces. To live by faith with God, to invite and allow our lives to be actually transformed by Jesus. Among other things, we need to have our lives slow down. And to intentionally allow more space in our lives for God to speak to us. That's one of the encouragements I came away from this past week. The encouragement to slow it down and to make more space. The second encouragement, very much tied to the first one, is to pray for and to train ourselves to be more aware of God all the time. All the time. Like in every moment, in every interaction, in everything we see, everywhere we go, to be paying more and more attention to God all the time. Nothing being exempt. It's a practice of noticing God in all the details. Things that we don't see when we're moving really fast and we're preoccupied with all kinds of other stuff. It's a practice of affirming the fact that God doesn't just dip in and dip out, showing up at the high and holy moments, like showing up here in worship, but that He doesn't show up at school or at work tomorrow. God is present all the time. God is active all the time, and it's an encouragement to take note of this, to pray for and train ourselves to notice God in all the details. We won't do it perfectly. None of us will. If you read further about Abraham and Sarah, they certainly didn't do this perfectly. They messed up repeatedly. But God was faithful. God was faithful to them just as He is to us, and He blessed them in all the imperfections that they had in ways that they could never, ever imagine, as He can do with us. Two of the best tools that we have for growing this way are God's Word and prayer. There are more, but those are two of the best tools we have, God's Word and prayer. The Bible is so filled with God in the details. God in the small things and the large things. God who redeems broken lives, who can take the worst and redeem. God who sometimes moves in huge, dramatic, earth-shaking ways, but who also often moves in those small whispers and nudges. This is what we're invited into by faith. Taking His Word and praying through it, claiming it, letting it be inscribed upon our hearts and minds, like this one from Zephaniah 3. Imagine waking up with this every day and carrying this with us as we go throughout each day and ending our day with this. Zephaniah 3. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. What a promise. He takes delight. He sings over us. He calms us. He's mighty to save us and all people. What a beautiful direction to grow into. To intend and to pray to be more and more aware of God all the time. All the time. Using His Word in living and active ways. To come back to Abraham and Sarah. Despite the fact that their setting in life was so very, very different than ours today. And despite the fact that God called them into this unique shaping role at the very headwaters of the story of faith. This mighty river that reaches from there all the way to here. Despite those differences, there are common threads by faith. And I'll touch just briefly on two of them, both coming from Hebrews 11. Look at verse 8, Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went even though he didn't know where he was going. He obeyed and went even though he didn't know where he was going. Abraham must have had a clear awareness about God. A deep readiness to hear God speak. Enough that he knew that this was God. Enough to uproot his whole family and go to where he didn't know where. But to go, to be led. As I said, Abraham and Sarah were not always models of pure faithfulness. They were regular people, but God was faithful through their obedience, and He led them. So a question for us is, how is our alertness of God? How is our alertness of God? Are we intentionally giving space to God in our lives? Intentionally, not just happening upon it, but intentionally giving him space. Not just on the perimeter, bumped and wedged, but more centrally. And is his word what we are doing our best to obey? His word that's already been given. Are we putting this into practice as best we can, praying for his grace to help us? It's what I said earlier about Jesus transforming lives and the practice of inviting him in and allowing him in to actually change us. It's about his great power, his great faithfulness, working through all the imperfections that we have. Secondly, verse 11, Hebrews 11, 11. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. She considered him faithful who made the promise. By faith, Sarah was able to believe in the impossible promise. A promise from God that made her laugh, that she would bear a son even in her old age, way past childbearing years. Yet her laughter of doubt by faith became a laughter of joy as she came to know that God is faithful beyond our understanding, beyond the impossibilities we see and the limits that we set. And a question for us, are we coming to know God like this? The God of beauty. The God who can beautifully do things that are seemingly impossible, all by his promise. Are we learning not to wall off God saying he will not or cannot or could not do that, but instead simply laying it before him and saying, your will be done? By his grace through Jesus. This is what we're invited into. This is what we're part of. This is that same river of faith that goes all the way back, filled with people who lived it imperfectly, of course, but who lived obediently by faith because God is faithful. And these people who precede us, they didn't see the fulfillment of every promise. We read that in the text. A lot of things they didn't see come to fruition at all. Just like we don't know the results of our obedience. That's up to God. But he has more in store for us than we can even ask or imagine as we continue to live with him at the center. As we give him space in our lives, praying for alertness to see him in all the details and to live with obedience by faith. And this river, it continues to flow downstream from us. Others are watching and listening. Other generations are coming. Other people are wondering, is there a living witness? Is there something in your life and my life that gives evidence to the power and blessing of this mighty God? So he has roles for us at the headwaters of other people's story of faith. So by his grace, may we live by faith and with obedience, day by day, giving him space and noticing him in all the details and knowing the beauty of his promises. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're here before you, the one who has opened the way to forgiveness, the washing away of our sins, for the healing of broken things about us. You're the one who's promised that you're always with us, even right now. By your grace, give us new eyes to see this. A new alertness to know the wonder of your presence deep down in our souls. And do whatever work you need to do in us to open us to the beauty of life with you, to life lived in obedient response to the very word of God that you embody. Lord, there's a lot about that word obey that we don't like, that can be challenging. There are parts of all of us that simply do not want to obey, to be obedient. We want what we want, often complicating so many other things. Forgive us for that. for the primary place that we can give to ourselves. And in your mercy, by your grace, transform us. Meet us in our inconsistencies, in whatever errors of selfishness and pride that we carry, in our lack of trusting you, and grow us in ways we don't even expect. In the needs we have, in the hurts we carry, in those parts of our bodies and minds and souls that need healing, we pray for your mercy and grace. And in this broad world that is so torn by guns and bombs and pain and hate, Lord, usher your kingdom in, using us in ways that only you can. Thank you for calling us to be your people, to be part of this broad, sweeping river, twisting and turning all the way from Abraham and Sarah to today. And help us to be good, faithful witnesses to your great faithfulness, to your powerful love, to be good and faithful witnesses of new life and redeemed life that you so graciously give to all of those who come to you by faith. We pray all of this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.